Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked On Wolves. Today on the show, the National Timberwolves hate parade is on full display. Somehow the Cleveland Cavaliers are the newly crowned champions of the NBA after their trade for Donovan Mitchell. And yet still people don't like the Rudy Gobert trade. I'll talk about why that's crazy here on the show today. Welcome in. You are Locked On Wolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Monday. Happy Labor Day, everybody, for those of you in the United States. Hopefully you had a fantastic or are still having a fantastic long weekend. Still wanted to get a Labor Day show up here today for your listening or possibly viewing on YouTube pleasure. Of course, three shows again this week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. A big thank you, first of all, for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. This show is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms, from Apple to Google, Spotify to Odyssey and beyond. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at B Beacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right, so today on the show, if you listened on Friday, I talked a lot about the Donovan Mitchell trade. I compared the Rudy Gobert trade to the Donovan Mitchell trade, and there's a lot of ways we can do that. The Mitchell trade had broken late Thursday, so I basically spent Thursday evening kind of, you know, comparing the two, like, you know, just kind of reading up on what are the differences between the two trades, what are my thoughts behind it, etc. Hadn't really seen a whole lot of the national reaction. So I recorded Friday's show late on Thursday, and then Friday morning woke up and, you know, saw the morning talk show reaction, the hot takey reaction, the ESPN reaction, I guess we'll just say it. And some of the other national things, national outlets and I don't know, whatever you want to call it. And I was just completely floored by the view of the Donovan Mitchell trade and what a coup this, of course, all of a sudden was for the Cleveland Cavaliers compared to this terrible trade that the Timberwolves made for Rudy Gobert just a couple of months ago. You would think that the Timberwolves traded everybody on their roster and every pick for all of time for Rudy Gobert, and that the Cavaliers gave up nothing to get Donovan Mitchell. It's just completely, you know, the Cavs, everybody's given him an A for their offseason. We'll get into that later. Some crazy offseason grades for the Cavs. Well, the Timberwolves are being panned for their acquisition of Gobert. I will say there were some notable exceptions, and we've talked about these along the way. One, of course, David Aldridge at NBA.com. I believe Mark Schumann as well at NBA.com. Both of them did a pretty good job analyzing the trade. And of course, a lot of our local friends, John Krasinski at The Athletic, many understand that, like, hey, the Timberwolves got better. Gobert's a very good fit, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I've talked about that at length, why I think ultimately this is the Gobert deal was good for Minnesota. And that's not what I want to argue today. I just want to kind of take a like a cross section of what the media is saying, largely nationally, and what the sentiment is for the Cavs and Donovan Mitchell compared to the sentiment for the Timberwolves and Rudy Gobert, and why it's just completely insane. And also, like, I don't want to completely turn this into a Cavs versus Timberwolves, who's got the better team, but I kind of do want to do that because the Timberwolves have a better roster than the Cleveland Cavaliers. But here we are listening to the Woj's of the world, and obviously Woj is fantastic. He does a great job breaking news, but I don't go to Woj to analyze my NBA roster, right? Like, and Woj went on whatever ESPN show it was on Friday morning and talked about how the Cavaliers are a force to be reckoned with in the East. He said they might have four all-star caliber players was his quote. I think it was Get Up, maybe, is the show he was on Friday morning on ESPN. Well, guess what? So do the Wolves, and everybody hates the Timberwolves roster. And I understand I'm painting with broad strokes now, but you get what I'm saying. The Timberwolves very likely will have three All-Stars this year in the Western Conference. I think it's very likely. Karl-Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert, and Anthony Edwards, probably more likely than not, that the three of those guys are all All-Stars this year in the Western Conference. And D'Angelo Russell isn't probably going to be, but he was like 4 years ago, and he's still in his prime. So you could say the exact same thing about the Timberwolves, that they have four All-Star caliber players. I think it's pretty likely that Donovan Mitchell and Jared Allen will be All-Stars in the East, and potentially Evan Mobley as well. I mean, that's entirely possible. I don't think Darius Garland will be an All-Star in the East. So like in a minute here, I want to do a little bit more of a direct comparison between the two rosters, but like just saying, oh, they have four all-star caliber players. They're a force to be reckoned with. Whereas the Wolves overpaid for a guy who doesn't fit the roster, and they, you know, ESPN has them seventh in the West in their offseason rankings. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. It's just insane. It makes absolutely no sense. The Cavs won 44 games last year. They won 44 games last year and traded, like the Wolves did, multiple rotation players and a bunch of picks for an all-star. It's the same thing the Wolves did. Oh, and by the way, the Wolves also helped weaken a Western Conference, a divisional rival in the Utah Jazz, and helped keep Kevin Durant out of the Western Conference, helped along the way. Donovan Mitchell's no longer in the Western Conference. The Cavs were a worse team in a weaker conference and have a worse rotation at, and backfilled less rotation spots than the Wolves did. We'll get into the benches. I want to talk about the bench, too. The Wolves clearly have a better bench than the Cavaliers. The fact that this is even a conversation about who had a better offseason and who has a better roster is crazy to me. And we're sitting here now, and people are giving the Timberwolves C's and you know, any variation of a C for their offseason, and the Cavs are all getting A pluses across the board. Everybody loves the Cavs all of a sudden. It just makes no sense. Absolutely no sense. And if you've listened to this podcast regularly, you know I am not a media's out to get the Timberwolves guy. I'm not a everybody hates the small markets. I mean, we're talking about a small market in Cleveland, right? A quote unquote small market, a mid-sized market, if you will, a Midwestern, a cold market like Cleveland and you know, same as Minnesota in that regard. That's not what I do on this podcast. I'm not prone to hyperbole. I'm not super hot takey. That's not what Locked On Wolves is about. But I'm going to call a spade, and this is ridiculous. It's just, it's absolute hypocrisy. And I saw some folks picking up on that. I tweeted about this Friday morning. And I saw some other people picking up on it after I mentioned it Friday morning on Twitter. Like, hey, what are we doing here? From a national analysis standpoint, is this really where we're going with this? That the Cavs, Donovan Mitchell's not as good as Rudy Gobert. That's what I spent a lot of the podcast Friday talking about. All the advanced stats agree. And I get the perception, you know, in the playoffs, the optics of, oh, Donovan Mitchell does so much more for the Jazz than Rudy Gobert did. Well, I mean, did the Jazz struggle more on offense or defense over the course of the season last year? And then when their defense struggled in the playoffs, was that because they failed to contain on the perimeter, or was it because Rudy Gobert suddenly wasn't a good defender? I understand the stats are what people see. Donovan Mitchell creating for himself is what people see. Donovan Mitchell is a good player. I'm not saying he's not an all-star. He is. He's a very, very good player. He is an all-star. But Rudy Gobert has a greater on-court impact than Donovan Mitchell. And to pretend otherwise is wrong analysis or disingenuous or perhaps both. I don't know. So I want to get into the roster comparison here. And, you know, I'm going to lean into the sour grapes thing because it's my turn. I was talking about how the national media earlier this summer had sour grapes about the Timberwolves ruining the trade market for Kevin Durant. You know, who cares? The Wolves are happy that they did that. It's my turn for sour grapes on how people are analyzing Gobert trade versus Mitchell trade because, again, just complete and pure and utter insanity. Okay, let's talk about, before we get to the rest of this, let's talk about our friends over at Built Bar. If you haven't tried Built Bar Puffs yet, you are depriving yourself of one of life's greatest joys. And guess what? There's a new flavor. Delicious, indulgent cookie dough covered in chocolate. That's right, Built has done it again. Let me introduce you to your new favorite. Cookie dough chunk puffs have a light and chewy texture. Real cookie dough chunks, and of course, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. All the joys of eating cookie dough without the hassle of making it. Plus, it's healthy for you. Cookie dough chunk puffs are only 160 calories, and they have a whopping 15 grams of protein in them. Run to Built.com to snag a box for you and the family. It'll be the perfect treat, or you can find a really good hiding place and simply hoard them for yourself. Like all Built bars, the new cookie dough chunk puff is covered in 100% real chocolate. That means they're healthy and they're tasty. Chocolate-covered cookie dough with a light, fluffy texture. Delicious. What's great about Built is that all of their bars are made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. Eat something that tastes good and is good for you. You're going to love the new cookie dough chunk puff. Whether you need a snack for your workout, a late night treat, or just need to grab a quick bite, Built is the perfect protein bar, and they taste better than a candy bar. Ditch the calories, the fat, and the sugar. Grab yourself a Built bar. Go to Built.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON15 to get 50% off your order. That's promo code LOCKEDON15 at Built.com. All right, let's talk about some offseason grades that were just given out before I get into the actual roster comparison, because believe me, I'm going to go position by position. We're going to talk about this. I can't wrap my mind around it. But first, over at CBS, Colin Ward Henniger had given his offseason grades a little bit earlier. It looks like he updated them after the Cavs trade. And this was a few weeks ago. I think he's the only one to like update their official offseason grades among the national sites. This is CBSSports.com. He gave the Minnesota Timberwolves a C+, which is, you know, crazy. For the Cavs, after the Mitchell trade, he's now given them, you guessed it, an A+. He says the biggest questions were who they were going to draft at 14 and what they'd do with Colin Sexton. Turns out they made some pretty good decisions. They sent Sexton and Agbaji, who, of course, they drafted at 14 to the Jazz, along with Laurie Markkanen, and a haul of picks to acquire a 3-time All-Star and proven playoff stud in Mitchell. Rudy Gobert is also a 3-time All-Star, and, well, people don't like what he did in the playoffs. He was on the same team as Donovan Mitchell that kept losing in this first or second round. And you could place a lot of blame on Gobert. He didn't score as much as Donovan Mitchell, but I'll tell you who didn't defend at all is Donovan Mitchell. That means that the Cavs now have a core of Mitchell, Garland, Jared Allen, and Evan Mobley all under 26 years old. The two elite rim protectors can help compensate for the defensive shortcomings of a small backcourt. Sound familiar? Rudy Gobert is the best rim protector in the NBA, helping compensate for not a small backcourt, but I would say a below average defensive backcourt, with D'Angelo Russell being average at best and Jordan McLaughlin being small. Jalen Noel off the bench, not a good defender. I get all that. Anthony Edwards is big. Jaden McDaniels is big. I think the Wolves will be better defensively than the Cavs. He says Mitchell will provide a much-needed second facilitator for Cleveland's 20th-ranked offense. We're talking about a team that was 20th in offense last year. Donovan Mitchell's a really good, dynamic, athletic, impactful offensive player. But look at Utah's offensive ratings. As good as they've been in the regular season overall, they hit some rough patches. And Donovan Mitchell is at least partially to blame because he was the straw that stirs the drink in Utah. Ward Henniger goes on to say, sure, there are gaps to fill on the wing, but the Cavs have set themselves up to be a legitimate contender in the present and future. The only thing I will say that he's right about is the age of these players. The Timberwolves, of course, are relying on a 30-year-old Rudy Gobert. D'Angelo Russell's he's not old. He's still, 27, 28 here in a couple years. Ant is obviously very young. Towns is in the same range as D'Angelo Russell. So yeah, the Cavs are a little bit younger, and that does matter. But let's not pretend like all of a sudden they're going to challenge for the Eastern Conference, because that's kind of the vibe I'm getting that everybody thinks is about to happen. And despite the admitted holes on the roster here, while in the process of giving them an A+ for the offseason, I mean, come on. Like, the Wolves, for comparison's sake, I'll remind you of what Colin Ward Henniger said about the Wolves. He gave them a C. He says, well, okay then. The Timberwolves jumped into the deep end with no life vest, trading a billion picks and players to pair Gobert with the newly extended Towns. No props for extending Towns, of course. It's a unique lineup combination that could yield positive results in the regular season. The questions surround Gobert's playoff impact and how he will age until his monster contract expires in the summer of 2026. He talks about Anderson being a good addition. He says, overall, it was a huge gamble and a huge price. Too high of a price, in the humble opinion of this reporter, but it will all be worth it if it translates to playoff wins. He gives the Wolves a C. We talked about this on Friday. The Wolves gave up slightly more than the Cavs gave up for Donovan Mitchell. Rudy Gobert is a slightly better player than Donovan Mitchell. I would argue the gap is greater than that. I think Rudy Gobert has a significantly higher on-court impact than Donovan Mitchell. And I don't know that there's really too much of a question. What Donovan Mitchell does, again, this is not meant to be a Donovan Mitchell bashing session. He's fantastic. There's a lot of guys that can create offense for themselves and others and be facilitators and be dynamic scoring the ball. There's a lot of, also, you know, Anthony Edwards is nearly as good of a version of that already. And I think his ceiling is far higher than Donovan Mitchell. He's much bigger. He's far better defensively already. That can't be denied. What Rudy Gobert does, he is one of one. He's the only guy in the league that has the impact he does defensively. And also, you know, obviously Jared Allen's great. And Evan Mobley's going to be, he's great now. He's going to be fantastic. But Rudy Gobert is still one of one for what he can provide. And sure, the age thing can factor into it longer term. But grading one of these offseasons an A+ and one of them a C is just, it's asinine. It makes absolutely no sense. And I really don't know how else to put it into words. Like the age thing is the only thing that kind of makes some sense to me. And that still doesn't explain away this year and which team is going to be better this year. What I want to do next is I want to actually look at the rosters and see, like, basically 1 through 10 on each of these rosters, or we could even go deeper if we want to do that. Which roster is better? Because it's not all that close. The Timberwolves, I mean, it's close-ish, but the Timberwolves are a better team than the Cavs. They were better last year. They're in a tougher conference. But yet we're going to pretend like the Cavs are suddenly God's gift to the NBA and the Timberwolves had a terrible offseason. So we're going to do that here next. All right, the Timberwolves roster is better than the Cleveland Cavaliers roster. Let's look at starting lineups first. Point guard, Darius Garland for the Cavaliers, D'Angelo Russell for the Timberwolves. You could argue for Garland. I'm going to say I'd give the edge to Cleveland with Garland. It's close. D'Angelo Russell's good. Garland's very good. Donovan Mitchell, Anthony Edwards, that's close. I mean, I think everybody in the league would rather have Anthony Edwards moving forward. Right, especially even now on his rookie contract, if you don't want to factor in the contract because he's going to get a rookie max here shortly, you could argue Ant's just as good as Donovan Mitchell right now. They're both likely to be all-stars this year, so we can call that a wash if we're just talking about this year in a vacuum and we're not looking at the future. We can call that a wash if you want. Jaden McDaniels and Isaac Okoro. Okoro had a better on-court impact last year, but Jaden McDaniels has a far greater ceiling, and I think he's more versatile defensively. They're both very good defensively. I really like Okoro. But there's no offensive upside there unless something crazy happens and he suddenly finds a jumper and rapidly improves offensively. I give the edge to McDaniels, even though I would admit that last year Okoro had a better on-court impact than Jaden McDaniels. This year, McDaniels would be the better player. He has the better long-term. I think if we're prognosticating for the future, McDaniels looks better long-term. Mobley versus Karl-Anthony Towns. Karl-Anthony Towns is better today. Mobley has a fantastically high ceiling. I don't think there's any doubt. You could argue it's as high as Anthony Edwards. You could argue for either one of those guys to be better in the next 5 years. So maybe it's actually better to compare Mobley to Edwards and call that a wash. But right now, Karl-Anthony Towns is the better player. There's no question. Rudy Gobert versus Jared Allen. Jared Allen, again, fantastic. Made his first All-Star team last year. I've liked him for a long time. I thought the Nets were crazy for trading him to the Cavs when they did. As it turns out, they were. He's great. I like him a lot. I think he's probably a top five center in the league. He's not as good as Rudy Gobert. He's also not as good as Karl-Anthony Towns. So at best for the Cavs, the starting lineups are a wash. You look at the bench. The Cavs have Ricky Rubio, who everybody now loves that he's on the Cavs, but when he's on Minnesota, people didn't like him, whatever. Rubio versus Jordan McLaughlin. You could give the edge to the Cavs with Rubio, I think. I think that's probably fair. Caris LeVert versus, I don't know, we could say Jalen Noel. LeVert has not been the same since his injury a couple years ago. He's always been a little bit overrated. He looks the part, but the on-court impact is never quite what it needs to be for him. The consistency isn't there. I would take Jalen Noel over Caris LeVert. Chetty Osman versus, we call it Torian Prince or Kyle Anderson. We'll say Torian Prince. Similar players, similar impact. I think if Prince is making threes the way he did at the end of last year, I think he's got a little bit more to give offensively in terms of he can facilitate. There's a little bit of an edge there, but again, it's very close. Kyle Anderson versus Kevin Love, also close. Kevin Love was really good last year. After a couple of kind of up and down years, I think Kyle Anderson's likely, knock on wood, to be more durable than Kevin Love. Love can obviously also play the five, whereas Anderson can play down and play the four. But with the addition of Robin Lopez in Cleveland this year, I think it's likely Love plays a little bit more at the four. Robin Lopez versus... we could say Towns or Gobert because one of them is really the backup center. You could say Naz Reid. You could give the slight edge to Cleveland there. So, I mean, and then you go beyond that. If you want to go deeper than 10, like the Cavs don't have anything, right? They're relying heavily on Caris LeVert and Chetty Osman, where the Wolves have Jalen Noel, Torian Prince, Austin Rivers is a rotation guy on a playoff team. Bryn Forbes, rotation guy on a playoff team. Kyle Anderson can play the three. There's more roster flexibility, more depth through 12, even 13 guys for Minnesota than there is for Cleveland. So yeah, I got carried away earlier when I said it's not close. We could say it's close, but the Wolves have a better roster 1 through 12 than the Cleveland Cavaliers do. The starting lineups are close, probably a wash. The bench is an edge to the Timberwolves. And I just think it's crazy that we're sitting here crowning the Cleveland Cavaliers for this move that now it's a shock. They have four all-star caliber players. Well, so do the Timberwolves. So do the Timberwolves. The Cavs gave up four first-round picks. The Wolves gave up four, I guess technically the Wolves gave up five first-round picks. It's almost the same trade haul. The Wolves gave up slightly more for a better player. That makes sense, right? You should give up more for a better player. So why is the Wolves trade being panned while the Cavs is being praised? I'm not denying the Wolves gave up a bunch. I've talked about this on the show at length over the past, 2 months. The Wolves gave up a ton for Rudy Gobert. The Cavs gave up a ton for Donovan Mitchell. That's what you do. You have to give up a lot to get a star in the league. And the Wolves have a star that's going to be around the next few years and very likely happy for the next few years with the Timberwolves, right? He's going to fit the window at least of the next 2 or 3 years. And if there's a decline, in 3 years, the Wolves will have to reckon with that. But that's not an issue right now. And what the Wolves did is every bit as good, and I would argue better than what Cleveland just did to acquire Donovan Mitchell, who just doesn't have the same level on-court impact as Rudy Gobert. Okay, rant over. I'm going to try my best not to rant the rest of the week. This is atypical for this podcast. So if this is your first listen to this show and you don't like that style, I'm sorry. It's not typically what I do. I just I got to call it out when I see it. This is blatant hypocrisy at the national level in terms of analysis of these offseason moves. And a huge part of it is the optics of Donovan Mitchell. He's more fun to watch to the average casual fan or to the national media or to guys that only watch a couple games a year of each team, the national studio guys or whoever. It's more fun than what Rudy Gobert does. That's why it's flashy, right? Rudy's the fun scapegoat to blame for everything in the playoffs. Donovan Mitchell can't do anything wrong, according to many of these same folks. It's not really the on-court impact. That's not really what's happening here. So for those of us who can kind of see through that and understand, this is not level-headed analysis. It's a little bit frustrating, I think, is probably a fair way to put it. All right, that's all we have for today here on the show. We'll be back on Wednesday. Two more shows this week, Wednesday and Friday. A big thank you again for making Lockdown Wolves your first listen each and every day. Of course, Lockdown Wolves can be found anywhere. It's free and available on YouTube, as well as any of your favorite audio platforms. You can also follow on Twitter at Lockdown T-Wolves and at B Beacon with 2 B's, 2 E's, C-K-E-N. Of course, the Lockdown Wolves podcast is part of the Lockdown Podcast Network. Remember, the Lockdown Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. Now, for your second listen, go check out the Ultimate Pro Football Preview 2022, an 8-episode extravaganza to get you ready for the NFL season. It, of course, kicks off this Thursday night. The local team experts of the Lockdown Podcast Network, plus a betting angle from Lee Sterling of Lockdown Bets, all combining into one Ultimate NFL Preview. Search for Ultimate Pro Football Preview 2022 on your Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Lockdown Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.